I want you to know something about me. I was a short-term mission failure. When I was a young person, I was in a college fellowship that was a very exciting place to be, and many of my friends were feeling called to go on short-term missions during college, and they would come back, and we would have this reporting time, and they would talk about the things they did on this part of the globe, and the things God used them to do over here, and the amazing stories over here, and I thought, man, that sounds so awesome. I wanted so much to have that experience, to be a part of that, but for me, it never seemed to work out. I was spending my summers working, paying for college, and just seemed like so much money, and I just never got there. In fact, summer after summer, I kind of hoped and wanted and wished, and some of my roommates would go, but it never quite worked out for me. And I finished college, and I never went on a short-term mission team. I felt so disappointed. I felt so frustrated. Today, we emphasize short-term mission teams and their work around the world, and we do so by asking this simple question: does the church matter? Does the church matter? In fact, what is the church? Is the church services? We're at a church service this morning. Is the church about services? Is the church about getting into your car in half an hour and saying, did the pastor sound smart? Did the pastor sound funny? That's lunchtime in my home. I don't know about your home. Those are reasonable questions to ask, I guess. But what if the church is about worship? Hey, how did Carol do? Or how did Pastor Rachel do? Or how did Pastor Steve? Did they sing the songs we like to sing? And did they sing them in the way and the order we like? Is the church just about worship? Is the church just about what happens in 70 minutes in this room? Is church about the events you go to, the junior high group and the high school group and Rooted, our young adults group, and your adult Christian education class and your life group and showing up at VBS and volunteering on the elder board or personnel commission or whatever it would be? Is that church? Well, all those things are part of church, but they're not church. The church is God's people. The people of God, inhabited by the Spirit of God, taught by the Word of God, joined on the mission of God. Does our faith in Jesus Christ matter in this world today? Today we want to try to get a vantage point of Sunrise Community Church by stepping outside of ourselves. We want to remove ourselves from sort of being inside and get outside and try to take a fresh look back at our church and say, does it matter what we do? Because some say it doesn't. Some in our culture are saying today that the church is irrelevant. That the church is so inwardly focused. That the church is hiding from the mainstream thrust of our culture. From the hustle and bustle, the hurly-burly give and take of issues in our world. Are we out of step? Are we unaware of what is happening in the world? Are we unengaged? Sometimes this is true. Is it true of us? Our church has a vision. It's to follow Jesus Christ, to become, to belong, and to bless. We've got that triangle that sort of summarizes what we feel God has called us to be and do. God's called us to be transformed into an image of Jesus Christ, that upward dimension. He's called us to belong together as a family, as a new kingdom coming to earth is up there, comes down here in our very own lives. By the way, did you know that Iola is turning 90 years old today? In terms of belonging, let's give it up for Iola. I think God said, I did such a good job with her, I want her to be here a long time. So we're the beneficiaries. Thank you. We're going to catch you someday, though. All right? We'll track you down. We're going to reach that, too, I hope. We're called to be a blessing to our neighbors and to the nations. Friends, we can ask, if the people of Sunrise vanished, would anyone care? Would Bella Vista High School care? Would Sunrise Mall care? Would poor people or hungry people in our zip codes, would they care? Would people without hope care if the people of Sunrise Community Church vanished? Friends, my sense about this is the church must matter to the world because the world matters so much to God. The church must matter to the world because the world matters so much to God. And that's what we've just celebrated here at communion. To remember what matters to God, we turn to the Scriptures. And often in a day like today, we would be looking in the New Testament. It has such clear directives for us to be witnesses, to make disciples of all nations. But the idea that the world matters to God occurs much earlier in Scripture. In fact, one of the places we can find it is in the Psalms, the wisdom literature in the center of the Bible. So if you have your Bible with you, would you open it today to Psalm 96? Psalm 96 is a psalm that talks about the whole earth praising God, who's coming as a judge. Do you know this world as a judge? Oh, this is important. Do you know this world as a judge? It's not going to be a telephone thing where you call in and everybody gets to vote. There's a judge who's coming. This psalm talks about him. We're going to look at the first six verses today. For centuries, they've guided the people of God. Verse 1 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth." The psalmist invites people everywhere to sing a new song to the Lord. News of the Lord's saving work should be spread abroad day after day until two things happen. Until people get joy, until the Lord gets glory. Those are uppermost in God's mind, that people would have joy and that He would get glory. Does that sound like a good deal? And when you see that word, the Lord, there in English, behind it is a Hebrew name for God, Yahweh. And the word Yahweh is built around the word for I am. Every time we see the word Lord or we read the word Yahweh in the Bible, we can remember some basic things about God. God exists. It's been said that every child in Africa knows God exists, but every scientist in America may not be sure. God exists. God never had a beginning. God will never have an end. God is the ultimate reality. Reality TV, the most real TV, is about what God is doing in our world. God is the most real person there is. Without Him, nothing would exist. God is totally independent. God has never held a straw poll. He's never sought out public opinion. He's the same today and yesterday and forever. Everything else totally depends on God. The universe, the galaxies, our country, your family and mine, your latest prayer request and mine, they all hang on God. God is the constant in our universe. God is the standard for truth. He's the standard for goodness. He's the standard for beauty. God does what He pleases. God is the only person in the world who can do whatever He wants, and it's always right. It's always true. It's always good. God is the most important person in the universe, the most important person you'll ever think about. The grandest thought you'll ever have is, what is God like? If you get that straight, you have the most important truth your mind will ever entertain. What is God like? The psalmist says in verse 2, "Sing to the Lord, sing to Yahweh, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day." Yahweh deserves worship. When the Lord is worshiped, it's the most right thing you've ever been a part of. It feels good in the bottom of your soul. We are designed to worship. John Piper reminds us that mission exists because worship doesn't. Isn't that a nice little phrase? Mission exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate. Mission is penultimate. It is secondary. Mission is not going to go on forever and ever. The only reason mission exists, and we talk about it today, is because there are people and places where worship isn't happening. And it's God's desire, it's God's will that it happen. Mission will exist just as long as, and in the places where mission or worship doesn't happen. So as long as someone does not worship, the church has a mission. Does the church matter today? Does the church matter? We can declare His glory, verse 3, among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. We're to take the news of His glory to the lost. The people of God announce God's salvation and God's good news to the world. You know there's an echo here in Matthew 15, 16. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That's the kind of lifestyle we're all called to. We're all part of God's mission in this world. We might say, well, what is glory? It's kind of hard to get our minds wrapped around that. Glory is that which makes God impressive. Glory would be God's reputation. It comes from His presence. It comes from His power. It's Him acting in this world. Psalm 29:9 says, "The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare, and in His temple all cry, glory." So does the church matter to God? Friends, some of us would say, hey, maybe mission comes out of church. Maybe the church got started and then we started talking about mission. And once in a while we'll commission a missionary or have a mission-oriented Sunday. Friends, that is absolutely wrong. That is not at all what happened. Do you know that God is on mission? And as God moves along His mission, churches turn up. There was a time when Jesus Christ came to earth and He began to interact with Peter and with John and with Thomas and others. And as He loved them and influenced them on His mission, you know what happened? A church got started. And some years later, He intervened in the life of Paul and He commissioned Paul. And Paul began to travel on mission. And you know what Paul left behind him? New churches. The church doesn't produce a mission. God's mission produces churches. You show me a thriving church and I'll show you the mission of God alive and well in our world today. The mission doesn't start with the church. The mission starts with God working to get His family back. The psalmist continues in verse 4, "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He's to be feared above all gods." We fear God because of who He is, but sometimes we can see who He is through what He's made. I came into contact with a kind of interesting book this week. The book is called Birdology. Any bird watchers out here? Okay, three of you? That's great. We love you guys. It's okay. It's good. You'll like this. There's an author named Cy Montgomery. She describes the beauty of the ordinary hummingbird. Hummingbirds are the lightest birds in the sky. I did not know this, but there's roughly 240 species of hummingbird. That's a lot. A big hummingbird would be like 8 inches long. The smallest hummingbird, just over 2 inches long and weighs 1 gram. Alone among birds, hummingbirds can hover, they can fly backwards, and they can fly upside down. That's pretty remarkable. For such small birds, their speed is astonishing. And get this, it's at its greatest when the males try to impress the females. Some things never change, right? You know? The guys want to like drive fast to impress the girls. Even if you're a hummingbird, it turns out. When a male is trying to court a female, one particular hummingbird can dive out of the sky at over 60 miles per hour. Hummingbird wings beat more than 60 times a second, which makes them a blur to the human eye. If you were as active as a hummingbird, you would need to consume 155,000 calories a day. Pretty good life, no problem, right? Yeah, sign me up. Flap those wings, man. Anything for an excuse, right? Cy Montgomery quotes a specialist who works with hummingbirds. And she says, "You know that kind of awestruck feeling you get when you look at a great work of art? You know that sense of wonder, that sense of connection to something far greater than you, something mysterious? That's the feeling that I get when I study a hummingbird. There's something behind the hummingbird. His name is Yahweh. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the Creator. That's why we fear Him. And the psalmist says, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." Yahweh's terrible beauty makes other so-called gods pale in comparison. They look cheap. They'd be tattered and rags. But our God made the heavens. You know, people cannot make a worm, but we come up with radical, odd ideas of so-called gods.
Yahweh is the one who made the heavens. Psalm 8 in verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingertips. The psalmist alluding that as you would flick dishwater off your fingers, Yahweh has hung the stars and painted the galaxy. The moon and the stars which you set in place. What is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. The psalmist says in verse 6, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Royal splendor radiates from Yahweh. Powerful beauty sets him apart. He is glorious and strong, possessing honor and majesty. To illustrate this, one teacher shared the following. The distance from the earth to the sun is 92 million miles. Now for just a moment, let's let 92 million miles be represented by the thickness of this piece of paper. For our purposes, this is 92 million miles thick, the edge of this page. If that were the case, then the distance between the earth and the nearest star would be a stack of papers 70 feet high. And the diameter of the galaxy would be a stack of papers 310 miles high. Now the galaxy is one speck of dust in our universe. Yet Jesus holds the universe together by the power of His Word. Finally, this teacher asked, now is that the kind of person you invite into your life to be your assistant? Or is that the kind of person you humbly bow before and declare as your God and your Lord? God's global people matter to God. Does the global church matter to us? Churches that do not look like us or sound like us, but are just as much the church of Jesus Christ, do they matter to us? People who share our faith in Christ but don't share our freedoms, do they matter? Poor Christians whose making a living is all-consuming, do they matter to us? Do we connect personally with what God is doing in other parts of the world today? Can we learn to be effective collaborators with churches in other cultures? Can we be inspired by their faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ? Rick and Diane Graham think so. They were missionaries in Jamaica. They hosted over 80 short-term mission teams. And let me tell you, hosting a team is no small task. Now at Sunrise, they've led over 12 trips from the States to other countries. When I asked Rick, hey, why would you do that? He said, you know, I have been involved for the last 42 years at Christian schools and Christian churches. I've taught and I've counseled. I've served as an administrator and a coach. I've taught Sunday school. And I simply have come to believe that the best and the fastest way to promote spiritual growth in Christians is a short-term mission trip. It works. God uses it. Rick says team members grow in their view and their dependence of God. Their hearts are enlarged. They become more sensitive. They're more supportive of missions. They become more grateful for their own situation in life. Many times people will say that the short-term mission trip was the most important factor in their spiritual growth. They experience the joy of serving and loving and working with people from another culture. They see the spiritual dependency of other believers. They get away from our American cultural baggage that sometimes obscures our dependency on God. Short-term mission trips are very effective at helping us grow. Someone who understands that is Joe Baginski. Joe returned recently from over a year in a couple of different countries in Asia, even made his way to Africa. God greatly used Joe in the cause of Christ. Another person who understands that is Amanda Moxley. Amanda is in the Philippines today. She's working at the Manila Children's Home, serving 9 young boys who previously lived on the street. She reports, I found Jesus here. I was already a believer, but I've come to fully depend on Him for everything, every moment of the day. I have never lived like this before.
God's using Amanda to reorient these boys' lives, teaching them to pray, getting them back into school, trying to recover some of the lost years as they were living on the street. We can continue to pray for Amanda and for her return. She's coming back October 14th. How fun to welcome her back, huh?
Other people know about this. Pastor Cliff, Dan Barber, Jake Barkowski, Cindy Robitaille. They know about the power of encountering God outside of our own culture. The week before Easter, they led a team to Mexicali. 43 individuals ventured from our Sunrise parking lot, and we drove 636 miles in these tiny little vans. Cramped in there about a day and a half. We crossed the border and we found ourselves in a new and a different world. A world that would change us and send us back different. The goal of that church was to be a blessing to the Pajiel Christian Church. We conducted vacation Bible school. We taught men's and women's Bible studies. We invited the community to outreach nights. We financed and then helped with three different building projects, including re-roofing a couple of homes and adding stucco to some church walls. If you see those hats up there, you know it was pretty hot up there. We were glad to be there at the time we were. Our students were gripped by poverty, Pastor Cliff writes, but challenged by other people's joy. Some on our team realized for the first time that their own wealth and their own possessions might actually be a hindrance to their greater experience of joy. More stuff isn't always better. Many of us were moved by how similar their struggles were to our own. The men struggled to lead at home. They struggled to have a godly influence at work. Teens struggled with peer pressure, and they struggled with conforming to this world's values. Children struggled to be loved, and in the end, our group showed Christ's love and received that same love in return. The trip showed us that God is alive and well and working outside of our own culture. Language and culture may differ, but the power of Christ is the same. The fundamental needs of people are the same. The trip brought our teens together and ignited a renewed fire in our youth group back at home. If you were part of supporting that Mexicali team, maybe supporting a young person, thank you. On behalf of our church, on behalf of the cause of Christ, thank you for supporting those who went. They did some crazy things up there too, as you can see. Another team that recently returned was in Asia, where God united 12 believers from three countries to transport Bibles to brothers and sisters who are persecuted minorities in restricted access countries. Friends, there are countries in which, if we would say the names of these folks or the names of these countries, and that were to be on the internet, it could be dangerous for them. So we're not going to do that today. There is persecution. It's a reality. But I can tell you that over 8,000 Bibles were delivered into one country. 1,500 Bibles were delivered among another people group. 2,000 gospel tracts made it into two other countries. 1,500 SD cards with gospel and audio Bible stories, as well as 2,000 DVDs of gospel messages and Bible stories were delivered. That's over 14,000 Bibles or gospel recordings delivered to believers in Asia for distribution. Can we praise God for that? Isn't that awesome? Wow. Our people listened to local church leaders and their needs, their gratitude for these Bibles, and they received a challenge to deliver even more Bibles in the future because the need is overwhelming. Well, there are also people from Sunrise who went to Uganda. Now, I'm going to invite Hal Hansen to join me on the platform in just a moment, but I want you to also understand how poor Uganda is. There are people in Uganda who turn big rocks into little rocks by hand. They do that with hammers, these hammers. In fact, as they do that, they'll slowly turn a larger hammerhead, if you can see that one, into a smaller hammerhead like that one. Take a look at this video. Pass out some hammers. And I want you to hold each one for just a second. And I want you to reflect on the fact that someone else held that hammer before you did. It might have been a woman. It might have been a child. And they worked all day, nearly every day, turning big rocks into little rocks. And then I want you to ask yourself this question. Does our church matter to the person who first held that hammer? Is there anything that God's calling us to do to bring hope and Christ and a future to people whose lives are so different from our own? Someone who's teaching me a lot about this is Hal Hansen. Hal led our team to Uganda. Hal, are you here? Last Christmas, we counted down to Christmas in what we're calling the Advent Conspiracy. We aspired to give a gift at Christmas time to the world in Jesus' name as a way to sort of push back on the consumer-driven culture in which we live that can sort of co-opt Christmas and make us focus just on ourselves. Welcome. How are you, man? We thought, man, it'd be a good spiritual discipline just to give a gift. And so we said, hey, let's see if we could give $4,000 to the people of Uganda, and we would have it be delivered by Hal and others on his team. By the end, the people of our church gave over $34,000, I should say. $30,000 more than we had asked for. Just over 27,000 of those dollars have been spent. A little less than 7,000 still remain. And Hal's here to give us a little bit of a report on that great team and talk us through some of those things. One of the things we had asked for money for was around a concrete floor, about $1,000. And I think that's Osmaz there doing some work with some local guys. Talk to us about what happened there.
Well,
Let's get you a mic here. Yep. There you go.
Well, this is a church in Paita. It's a small community near the Congolese border. The church started out as with sticks and tarps for a roof. And over the last couple of years, we've been able to get a tin roof, get some walls up. And the whole goal of this is so they would have a place to do local Bible study or Bible school. They need... you need doors and windows, you need a floor, you need a roof. And through your generous giving, we were able to get the floor in here and a cement covering for the outside to waterproof it and doors and windows. And they had local Bible school. First one was May 25th. So thanks for your generous giving.
Amen. We were thinking that might take multiple trips, but with the kind of giving we had, we were able to just do that in one trip, right?
And they're able to begin.
That's awesome. We praise God for that. We asked for about $800 for proclaimers. They're a kind of a little device that you can operate with a crank or solar or plug to help share the gospel. What happened there?
Yeah, and here's a picture of a proclaimer in the guy's hand. And also we had some money for some Bibles in the Lure language. Maybe 10%, 20% of the women can read. So when it comes to how do I get the scripture in me, I have to hear it. And this gives women and men that can't read a way to hear the scriptures. And some of these actually went into Congo, to some of the areas in the that were adjacent to Paita.
We requested several hundred dollars for one well. And what ended up happening with the wells?
We were able to put in 7 plus wells. Here's one we put in there.
Large crowds of people came to see Jesus film. We had about $1,500 we were seeking for some Jesus film equipment. And what did we end up doing there?
Yeah, the Jesus film has been in the area, but because of budget cutbacks, they pulled back the equipment. It was still a very effective way of sharing the gospel. So we were able to bring 2 sets of equipment. One we gave to the church in Gulu, the other one Paita. And they're still traveling around sharing Christ with this. You'd start with a few people like this and probably end up with maybe 300-400 by the by the end of the evening. So.
Then I think you even had some medical professionals that were on the team. What did they do?
We had medical professionals that not only did medical clinics of helping wounds and wound care, also did teaching for women and women's problems, a lot of real good stuff.
Awesome. And then we have a friend here. We're not doing this alone. Dick Otto is a 30-year veteran of missionary service in Uganda. Tell us kind of what he has meant to you as a guide and a friend.
Yeah, you know, what we do, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. You know, someone has taken the beachhead. Someone has been there. They know the people. They know who to trust. And we stand on their shoulders. Dick was ministered in Uganda for 30 years. Kicked out for about 10 years after Idi Amin got there, came back, continued to minister, and still goes back. Has been a real friend to me and a real spiritual father in showing me just maybe how to live.
Yeah, so. That's awesome. Hal and I have talked about just so many compelling needs in Uganda, but sort of the way that Bible training for leaders in local churches is seeming to sort of just rise to the surface and a real focus going forward. Now, are you planning to head back on another trip?
Yeah, plan look into January to go back. You know, of all the stuff we do, you know, wells are great, medical is great, the teaching people how to care for others is good, but training is such a huge issue. How do guys get trained? You know, we have Google. We can look stuff up. We have books. We have resources. They don't. So helping, facilitating them so they can train their own leaders, that's really where we get the most bang for our buck.
Amen. Hal, thanks a lot. Thanks. We love you. We appreciate you. Thanks. God bless you, man. We praise God for each one of these teams and even other things we don't have time to go into today. So I ask you, does church matter? Does VBS matter? Does sharing the gospel with kids in our culture and teaching and worship and all the different things, does it matter? Friends, you bet it does. You matter. Your lives matter because of Jesus Christ. Your faith and the things that you do in the cause of Christ matter tremendously because the world matters to God, because people matter to God. Friends, so many summers ago when I was disappointed that I wasn't going to be on a short-term mission trip, you know what happened? Well, eventually I graduated from college and I thought, hey, I can go on a longer short-term mission trip. So I went on one for about 8 months and I got sick and I got homesick and it wasn't always easy. But God used that short-term mission trip to change my life. I experienced a sense of call. I believe that my little life was meant to be useful in God proclaiming His glory to the nations. I still feel that. I feel that today. I was so thrilled to go on that Mexicali trip. In fact, I'm trusting God that I'm going to go on 1 or 2 short-term mission teams every year while I'm here at Sunrise. I want to visit our missionaries. I want to go with people who want to go. I want to report back to you what's happening in the cause of Christ around our world and help us stay connected to it. So what about you? Here's my challenge. Will you connect to one short-term mission team in the next 12 months? By connect, I mean, will you learn about one? Will you pray for one? Will you give financially to one? Or would you go on one? I believe that's something that everybody in this room can do. By learning, you could just spend some extra time in the foyer today. You can go out and touch a well, just like the well that Hal builds in Africa. You can ask questions of our presenters there. Spend a little time learning today. You can join a mission class, even right after this service today. You can step into a class and learn about God's snapshots, extended stories, people right here from Sunrise, whom God is using, sometimes right here in Sacramento, but also as far away as Africa and China and all over the world. It's happening in B107, right here after this service. You can pray for these countries and team leaders as you hear news around the world, and pray for our supported missionaries. We're trusting God for great things. We got to be praying. You can give yourselves to shaping one another. Our mission is to be sending and forming people to love Jesus Christ. We don't want to be exporting to the world something that's not working right here. Amen? We need a lot of work. Amen? None of us is fully formed. So every class, every verse we memorize, every discipleship appointment, that's helpful in the greater cause of Christ. We can give supporting one another financially. What an opportunity to touch the world through our own friends and neighbors. And we can go. In the next year, can you go on a short-term mission trip? Someone in this room is thinking, I don't have enough money. I used to think that, and that is wrong thinking. I do not think that anymore, and you should not think that either. God is a provider. If God wants you to go, take the first step, and you're going to be surprised at what God does. The kind of trips we talk about here, they cost somewhere between several hundred dollars and maybe $2,000 or $3,000. That's a lot of money. But for most of us, it's not about the money. We just never thought of using our money that way. Are you gainfully employed? Have you been gainfully employed such that you can now be retired? Why does God give you money? What is money for? As a Christian, money is for more than getting yourself a house and getting yourself a car and taking care of your family. Most of us have enough extra money that we could spend money like that once in a while to go on a mission trip. Part of the reason God gives you money is so that you can be one of those people who will declare His glory among the nations or support someone else who will. That's one of the reasons that you have money. God made you. He gave you your talents. He gave you your gifts. He gave you your opportunities. Use what He's given for His glory. You might be thinking, hey, my boss would never give me time off. Jesus is your boss. Jesus made you, and Jesus made time. And Jesus doesn't promise you day after day. He promises you eternity. What are you doing with the time He's given you? Talk to your boss. Ask him for those 2-3 weeks off. You just might be surprised what happens. Do your homework. Plan it out ahead of time. Tell him what you're trying to do. He might donate to your trip. If you have children at home, before your child leaves home, would you think about going on a short-term mission trip with your child? Would you free them from American culture? Would you give them a perspective from the cause of Christ outside our culture? Would you help them see how their faith matters and how the way they follow Jesus Christ here can impact the world? Friends, there are teams forming in the foyer today. Check it out. Ask some questions. This is decision time. What will you do? Will you learn? Will you pray? Will you give? Or will you go? The church matters. Your life matters. Because of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for blessing us so. For giving us relative health and wealth and giving us a destiny in heaven. God, may our lives sing a new song to you. May we be the ones that you choose to declare your glory to the nations, to proclaim the majesty of Yahweh, of our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said? Amen. So gang, it's just as simple as this. We're going to wrap up in another minute or two. In the foyer today, there's people either reporting on or recruiting for teams to Asia, Mexicali, the Philippines, Uganda, Romania, the sending place.
I want you to know, too, that Sunrise has a benevolent fund to help meet needs right here in our own county. If you want to give to that, the ushers are going to wait on you at the door. Next Sunday, we're starting a new sermon series on the book of Jonah. It's called Born to Run. You know, we're all runners. We all run from God. Sometimes we run to God and run with God. I want you to use this little card to invite a friend to join us next Sunday and have an opportunity to run right into the heart of a loving God. Finally, we've got these globes sitting here, and I wouldn't do this if you guys weren't ready for it. So you need to get your arms up. Are you ready? The God who made the world loves you, and He wants to use you to share Jesus Christ with people all around the world. God bless you guys. Get your arms up now. This is coming. Have a great week.